Well, I want to say that I really appreciate being here. And seems that my heart's always enlarged when I'm around the saints. I appreciate God's people. I desire your prayers. I feel that the Lord's given me a burden for saints here, but pretty much in general, really, the way I feel, the Lord's been dealing with me. I feel like the Lord's been helping me to feel the way He feels. That's really what we're talking about. What the Lord's feeling towards His people. The Lord's been dealing with me about our time. 2011 issues we have to deal with. I feel like there's an element everywhere I go of, it's not a condemnation, but there is a lethargy. We have no system, and we shouldn't have one, that goes around making people do anything. What we do have as a system, we call it revivals. The only way that really makes it work, rules won't do it, even peer pressure don't do it. What does it is when the Lord comes by His Spirit and convicts the heart. It's called conviction, but it really means convinced. It's when the Lord comes and convinces the heart into action, into doing something. And that's what we desire to happen, that every one of us would have a convincing about the way we ought to serve the Lord, with its intensities and its works and its duties, and all that it has is not because we've made it or ruled it, but it's because our hearts, as we live to God, our hearts, we want it to be. It's the only way that it works. It's the only way that it works. My message tonight, I'm going to entitle it, Lost Opportunities. And I want to look at a scripture. We're going to start with the 19th chapter of Luke. Oh, I want to I'll start back about 37. And when he was come nigh, even now at the descent of the Mount Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, Blessed be King. Blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said unto him, Master, rebuke thy disciples. And he answered and said unto them, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. And when he was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it. And we'll just want to get a few thoughts as we go through this. Here was a time that Jesus was coming and they began to say, Hosanna, King, King, recognizing him for the mighty works that he had done. Sound like a real praising time. It sounded like an uplifting time. Went from a high level, and Jesus was accepting that he had come into his kingship, and they was praising him for that, and he came into that, and it looks to me like, in my mind, that there's an immediate transformation there as he come over and looked over the city. They was praising and all that, but then, in a moment of time, Jesus beheld the city of Jerusalem. He looked over the city. It wasn't, Jesus did not, wasn't praising and doing all that. He went, when he saw the city there, he saw the people of that city guilty. Guilty people. People that had rejected God. When he looked and saw that, his people, he looked over the city. It brought a weeping to our great heart of our Savior, weeped over the city. It was, It was something in his heart that poured out because he loved them. His heart was for them. He didn't want what was going to happen to them to happen to them. And he knew what was going to happen to them. Jesus knew that what their rejection was going to bring into their lives, and he did not want it to happen. And when he saw that and realized that, he wept over the city. I wonder what the Lord feels now then. What do you think the Lord must feel like now when he looks over the multitudes of the people? He must still have a tear in his eye. He must still have a weeping heart for humanity, guilty, sin-sick humanity. He gave his all for it, and yet as he looked down over it now, he must have a tear in his eyes. And I think sometimes maybe there was a tear there for me too. And I don't want to lose my opportunity. I don't want to lose the opportunity that the Lord has given me. He said, and when he was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it, saying, if thou hadst known, even thou, at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. For the day shall come upon thee that thine enemies shall cast a trench about thee, and compass thee around, and keep thee in on every side, and shall lay thee even with the ground, and thy children within thee, and they shall not leave in thee one stone upon the other, because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation. This has been said to have been, in all of history, there has never been a prophecy so accurately prophesied, come true, and an account of it been told than this passage of Scripture. What Jesus said there so literally come true and was recorded as such that you can look into history and see it, that it boggles my mind to this day to read the account of it. I shiver at it. That the Lord came to this point with these people and he told it right down to the end. This scripture was literally fulfilled in 70 AD. And most of you know this, but I want to recount a little bit of it. There was a historian by the name of Josephus who was a Jew. And the accounts of it he had no bias. He was not a Christian. He simply wrote it from a historical standpoint. He was a Jew. So he didn't relate anything that Jesus said. But he did relate the account of the destruction of Jerusalem. 70 AD, Roman general by the name of Titus came in. They was having a problem with the Jews there, and I don't remember all the account of it, but there was insurrection there, and the Roman general moved in on the city. The account says that in 3 days, it was a major feat, but in 3 days, they casted up a dike that went around a barrier around the whole city over 5 miles around. In 3 days, this Roman army came in there and completely secured the whole place. Nobody goes in or out after that 3 days. And mainly nobody could at the beginning of it because they went around and completely circled the city around. This word that means entrance, if you look it up, it actually means to cast up. They actually went and built a great barrier all the way around the city in an attempt to starve them to death. They would either give up and humble or they would starve to death. The accounts of this was horrid. They was inside that city and there was no way in, no way out. It is told that Josephus himself was captured outside the city and they used him to go in with messages and tried to get him to get them to surrender because they did not want to destroy it. But the word of the Lord had already prophesied it, and at their best trangs, they couldn't keep from it. It happened right as they wanted to. They said that Titus, the account was that Titus himself did not want to destroy the temple. But it was destroyed in spite of him. He gave orders that was disobeyed. At the end of all of it, because the Lord had already pronounced judgment on it, all those years before, no human effort, no human mind, contrary to any human thinking, there was going to be the end of this prophecy. And it happened. It was horrible. They got down to, they ate their own children. They got down to try to survive. It was a horrible, horrible thing inside that city that these people tried to do. And at the end of it, the city, the temple caught fire. And at the end of it, when it was all said and done, the end of history ended just like Jesus said it would. And they actually took and plowed the foundations of the place up. There was not one stone left on the other when that account was through. I don't know about you, but that just sends shivers through me. Because I want to say this, it was told and foretold. Do you ever think about that? Do you ever think about if we could only know? The Lord said that, and it came to pass. I wonder what else that you and I can't change. Do you ever think of that? You ever think that we only look at the account, and people that don't believe in the scripture still look back at the old Jewish account of how the Romans took the city, and they don't ever see this part. But we have the great privilege of being able to see what the Lord already said, and it happened, and we've had events in this world. World War II, for instance, I've studied it half my life. It's a very interesting time to me. But to think that somewhere before that ever happened, the Lord said something. The Lord said something. And nothing anybody could do could change what the Lord said. And all of the this and that, and we'll try to meet, and I'll try to do all this and straighten it up. But if the Lord spoke something against that thing, it happened. It happened. I think a lot of events that's happened in this world, the Lord spoke those things and said, because of this, it come up to a very evil and wicked time. If you'll remember, the Jews had said at one point, there was a proclamation said that said, let his blood be on us and our children. I don't say things lightly, folks. It's serious. So I want to look at this scripture a little bit more in depth. I think it's important to know that Jesus wept. Because sometimes we'll say, how could the Lord? Is that love? I want to tell you, he wept over them. He never had a desire that he have to proclaim these words. He wept before he said them. And it says here in the 42nd, it says, if thou hadst known, even thou, at least in this thy day, if thou hadst known, even thou, at least in this thy day. This is our day. This is what he's saying. Do you know that these people have been stiff-necked, hard-headed people for generations upon endless generations? They had rejected God. They rejected the prophets. They stoned the prophets. Jesus came into this kind of world, and with all of that, even with all of that, he said, if thou had, even in this thy day, still yet, Jesus had come with the great truth of God and salvation. And do you know they had their opportunity in their day? They had the opportunity to be able to say, this is the Lord. This is what we've been waiting on. This is the truth. He proved it many times over to anyone that would have been honest. He was there to prove it. He proved it many times over. He tried to use their own language, their own thinking, their own religious dogma. He used it over and over to try to say to them that I'm the Lord. You remember the place there where he had healed the one and raised them up? And then he said, thy sins be forgiven thee. Do you know he put that right to them when he said that? The 103rd Psalm puts it in exact order the way the Jews believed it, that your sins was forgiven first and then you was healed. And they believed that. It was a part of their dogma. So when he come in and healed them and said that, then he pointed it back at them, which is easier to say. You believe that if the only way a man can be healed is if his sins forgiven first. Did you know he pointed it right back at them? They wouldn't believe their own doctrine when it come to it. It was their opportunity. Will you, in this thy day, we have today, folks, we have an opportunity today. Thank God that there's opportunity to live for God, to be able to seize holiness, to live right, to have right things in our heart, to stay pure from this world. This is our day. We have the opportunity. But I'm going to read this and let you see what happened to these people, because this is a lost opportunity. They had their day. In this thy day, he said. It's still even now, he was saying, oh, if you only know your generations of folly, your generations of backsliding, all of these things. But in this thy day, if you only knew, if I only somehow could have got to you all the miracles that was evident to anybody that wanted to see the healings, not only that, but with the right spirit. He didn't condemn. He didn't bring down fire. He didn't hurt. He didn't wound. He wasn't like humanity. We want to do those kind of things, but many times we bring in our own humanity. You got to do it my way. Jesus done it in a way that the spirit was pure and clean and right. And all honest souls saw it and called him Lord. And he said, in this thy day, oh, if somehow I could have done something. But what more could he have done? If thou hadst known, even thou, at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace. The things which belong unto thy peace. Boy, that takes on a lot, don't it? Your well-being. Your sense of well-being. Your happiness with one another. Your ability to get along with one another. The being able to be lifted above yourself to higher things, to integrities and honor and glory in yourself. The things that belong to your peace. Not only, sure, there's things, without the hope of the life after this, there's no peace. To die as a dog. Sure, it's a hope of heaven that he's talking about here. If you'd have known what belonged to you, life eternal. You get to live forever with the Lord. Sure, those things belong to our peace. I can lay down at night because of it. No matter what, I know I get to go to heaven. But it's a lot more than that. He's talking about life now. The things that belong to your peace now. Not the sinful things of the world corrupt people's hearts. It brings division among people. It tears up wives and husbands. It tears up mothers and daughters. It rips apart families. It causes little children to be dysfunctional. They don't know up from down because of sin and those things. And people want the love of it, but they don't understand, and sin tears it up. And I don't know why my children don't love me and don't want to come see me. And I don't know why there's discord and all that. And he said here, if you had only known the things which belong to thy peace. In this thy day, in this time, these things belong to us. We can have all of this. Folks, today, don't have a lost opportunity. You'll lose your, and it's part of my burden because I see it coming incrementally. I see it as a little bit. I see the fire dying down a little bit. The flames flickering down lower and lower in our lives, in our congregations in that. And I just want to encourage you. If you got a prayer, pray it. If you got a song, sing it. If you got an exhortation, exhort. Lift up to God. You want to praise the Lord? Praise the Lord. Be it lively. Have some fire. This is our day. This is our time. That belongs to our peace. These things are ours to enjoy and love and live. Help us to tear down the barriers and the walls between us. A lie will build a wall. A lie will build a wall. Sin will build a wall. It'll build things between people. But this is our day to love and to live and to have close fellowship. Don't you long for it? Don't you really long for it? Don't you long to have deep Christian love with one another? Don't you love the idea of dying for someone and someone dying for you? Don't you love the idea that that's my brother and nothing separates us? We're like this. Not one, not two, not three, all us all together. This is our day. 2011, the Church of God, it's today. This is our day. And there's a lot that belongs to our peace. It's ours. But something else happens with these people. They rejected it. The opportunity for them to sing the glory of God. How do you see the glory of God? I'm going to tell you, in our minds sometimes, we see the glory of God as some great big earth-shaking moment. With the all put together with the splitting of the clouds and lightning and thunder. But you know, honestly, the glory of God is seen in our lives as we work with one another. There's where the glory of God counts. There's where the work of God counts. It comes down to where a fleshly man would rise up. He don't in the glory of God. He sees higher purposes and higher things in his life. There's where the glory of God. This all belongs to our peace. Even this, our day, 2011, it still belongs to us to have a higher purpose and a higher cause in life. But now, they are hid from thine eyes. And I want to tell you, this makes me tremble. They're hid from thine eyes. There came a point of all those generations and years, God still gave the opportunity. But there come a time when our great Savior came. Listen, there's not going to be another one. He was it. There was no thing else. And that there's writings in the scriptures that points to that. If you reject this one, there is no other. There is no way of salvation. What are you going to do? This is the plan. And these people come down. And now it's hid from these people's eyes. I believe from this point on that there was something happened. There was something happened there, not to every individual, of course, but there was something happened there that when they rejected the Lord, there is no other Lord coming, and now it's hid from your eyes. By the mechanics of it, it was hidden, if you understand my reasoning. By the mechanics of it, you just denied this Prince of Glory. What are you looking for? To catch a hold of a tail of a comet? Or to do something outrageous? The Lord Jesus has already been here. He proclaimed himself. The scriptures. If they had been wise to the scriptures, it foretold him. It foretold him all the way down through. And there was men of the scriptures and in tune with the scriptures and with the Spirit of God that said, I can die. I've seen the consolation of Israel. Hey, they recognized and knew what was happening. But he said, this is hid from their eyes. The scriptures now went blind. The scriptures went dark to them. There was no enlightenment now. There's nothing to happen because they just rejected the fulfillment of it. And now, only thing is left is the fulfillment of this prophecy of the Lord. I shudder. I shudder to live my life in such a way that I lose my opportunity. These people had lost their opportunity for something that they had looked to, talked about. The coming of the Messiah was the watchword of the Jews all down through the ages. To be delivered from Roman bondage and to be able to get out of their present situation. It was their watchword. And yet, the Samaritan woman, when she was there at the well and she left from there, when she went down to the city, you know what? She went down and told them, there's a man that will tell you all things. Do you know why she said that? Because everybody knew that when the Messiah came, he would know all things. It was prophesied that he would. They knew that he was coming. And yet, why didn't it just change everybody? Because there was darkened hearts. We live in our day too, folks. Don't let the old world get you. Don't lose your opportunity. The Lord Jesus has come, and he brought salvation in his wings, and he is here to help us and to be able to, you don't have to be your fire snuffed out. If you can sing for the Lord. And I want to tell you, I don't know that it's ever helped, but let the Lord bless it, okay? I travel around, and quite a bit. And our special singing, and I'm not, that's up to you and the Holy Ghost, but again, we're trying to convince here with the Lord, it's on a low, low ebb. I've been in big meetings and not have one special song the whole time. And you can say, well, Lord ain't working with me. I ain't putting that on. I'm just saying that let the singers sing. Let them sing. Let those that have a prayer, let them pray. Let a little light be lit under us, because this is our day. If we don't do it now, when are we going to do it? And if we don't ever do it, might there be the word of the Lord that says, like he did to these people, might it say, it's hidden from their eyes. They didn't use it. I wasn't glorified with it. And now it's hid from their eyes and no glory in it. If thou hadst known even this, and at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. For the day shall come upon thee that thy enemies shall cast a trench about thee and compass thee around and keep thee in on every side and shall lay thee even with the ground and thy children with thee, and they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another, because thou knowest not the time of thy opportunities. Of thy opportunities. Now, I change that word. It's not a change, really, of the word. It's what it's talking about in the day of thy vision, in the day of thy opportunities. It is quite stirring to me to think that these people, I can't answer this altogether, but I'm going to tell you what the Scripture says. And thy children. Now, did that say that or didn't it? And thy children. You've lived the life, you've denied it, and all the power and influence you have as adult, as parents, as influential to say and to make things mean something, and all that you had as a person and the power of your influence, and you've lost that opportunity, and now when this comes, it comes to you and it comes to your children. And from this is what the penalty is going to be. If you don't do this, this is the way it is. Well, they were just children. But did you know, by the nature of things, there had to be children in Jerusalem, didn't there? They became food in many cases. People that had so starved themselves to try to survive would start eating children. There was accounts of that in Jerusalem at that time. A horrible event that their children done. But there's another side to this story. There was Christians in Jerusalem in 70 A.D. There was quite a few Christians actually in Jerusalem in 70 A.D. But you know what they done when certain things started to happen around them? They had the Word of God, the Word of the Lord's prophecy burning in their heart. And there's another place that says, let it not be on the Sabbath day, and that you not have child, and all these things. That was an allusion to this very thing here. And the fact of it was, Jesus proclaimed this, but he didn't leave his people unguarded. He set something out there for them. And the historians say that not one Christian ended up in Jerusalem when it was entrenched around. They all moved out just before the army moved in. The Lord had already crossed. They believed the Lord. I want you to think of something here. The things that belong to thy peace. Did you know right there in that turbulent time, there was things that belonged to their peace? And God kept them peace. He had promised them peace in their day. We live in a very, very unstable time. Or do you all feel it? Anybody feel the unstableness of the time? It seems very unstable. You hear on one hand, I hear so much out there, and these people making their predictions about things, and the dollar's going to die. I mean, the dollar's down. And I say I believe it all, but I don't know what to believe one way or the other. I mean, the economy's going to see this is going to happen, all that. And you know what? I can say with my hand up, thank you, Jesus. I'm a child of God. Don't worry me. I feel bad for the country. And as a matter of fact, I can even weep for them. But when it comes to my life, I say, I'm in the hands of a faithful God. Thank the Lord. This my day if it happens. I'm going to tell you, if it does happen and those kind of things happen, it might be the last surge of any Christian thought that we can insert into this old world. It might be the time of a few people wanting to get saved. And I can be there for that. I think many times, oh Lord, I am so glad. I'll hear this stuff and I'll get to thinking about it and then it'll come into my mind. Thank you, Jesus, for the great opportunity to know you and to know your scripture and to be alive in it and have that thing which belongs to my peace in this my day. I can have it in my heart and I can know, and I've got these scriptures that comes into my mind when these things happen. I'll think of those three Hebrew children that got uprooted over there in their land and brought down to the Assyrian Babylonian Empire, brought down there and refused to eat the king's meat. And God was with them. There was things that belonged to their peace. Oh, Daniel was uprooted over there, a man with such integrity that they said the Spirit of the Holy Gods is in him. And they said they tried to find an occasion against him and they couldn't find any. There was nothing against them. His integrity was sound. He lived under, three different heathen kings. And he never, never was unfaithful. Because in this thy day, he had the things that belonged to his peace. He accepted that day of visitation and made the best of his opportunity. Folks, we're living now. We're living now. We have an opportunity to be saved. If you're here tonight and you're not saved, oh, you should tremble tonight. That the Lord would say, and their eyes be darkened, and they will not be able to see it. Once I've passed by, once, yea, twice, possibly again and again, who knows how merciful God will be, but there can be a time in everybody's life that the Lord says, and it's darkened to them. What else can you do? The great Savior, he comes by and he proves it with love. He proves it with mercy. He proves it with events. You see the healing. You hear the testimonies. What will you do after a while if you reject the Lord of glory? Lord, help us tonight. Because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation, the time that the Lord paid special attention. I believe tonight that the Lord pays special attention to every individual. I believe he paid special attention to them. It was the day of thy visitation, or the day of their opportunity to be able to deal with God, to be able to change the course of their life, to be able to come in to that place of peace. But they rejected it. And they rejected it. And there came a time, folks, I fear of it. I don't want to see us diminish in any way. I want to see, I'll just tell you the truth, I'd like to see the singer sing. It's more than just hearing the singing. It's the blessing I get from it. It's more than that. It's life. It's life to us to be able to do what God gave us to do it. And you know what else? I'll be honest with you. I didn't grow up singing. And I don't sing well. But I want to say this. You may have been around long enough that you don't even think about it or care. But God blessed us with singers. An amazing ability to sing that I never knew of at all growing up. But saints got a gift. There's a lot of gifts of it. Allow it to flow. Allow it to flow. This is our opportunity. I want to look at another scripture kind of quickly. I believe it was the one Brother Ed was speaking of, the song was from. It's over in Acts 24. In 24:24, says, and after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. And as he reasoned the righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered. I'm going to tell you this trembling thing. All that I need to hear when I hear that, that's all I need to know that the Holy Ghost worked through Paul. Because the effects was there. This man trembled. He spoke of righteousness and of judgment, temperance and judgment, and he didn't do it just in Paul, and he just didn't do it in excellency of words. He done it in the power of God, because old Felix trembled when it got through something. I'm going to tell you, there was a convincing element in that. And Felix, of his high rank and of all that he said, where he was at, he trembled. It got to his heart. Oh, I'm going to tell you what kind of resistance we can have against the power of the Holy Ghost. Felix trembled. It's time to do something when the trembling starts. It's time to get something done, but I've heard Brother Ed say before, you can survive conviction. Felix did. He soothed his conscience a little bit and answered, "Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee." If I can have this liberty, that's a lie of the devil. You ever had any convenient time to serve God? I mean, you have a nice convenient time to pray. How good is that? Hey, I got a good convenient time to go service. No, that's when the phone call starts, or that's when something starts. You go to, I have a real convenient time to just, I got all this convenient time to really do something for God. No, it don't work. That was a lie of the devil. That was a lie of his own thoughts and imaginations and of Satan, because they're in the convenient time for that. Oh, you go, and when I got a convenient time, I'm going to say this. Well, it's just a thought, but I wonder if he ever had one. If he did, it wasn't recorded that I know of, but I wonder, was there a convenient time for old Felix? He probably, after a day, felt just a little better than he did the day he trembled. You know, a good night's sleep, a good meal, talking some things over with some people that said, nah, it ain't that. Paul's had a... I'll tell you how it works. Somebody comes and says, well, you know, they've been suspicioning Paul for a lot of things. Oh, really? In a little bit, you can wear it off, and after a week, it don't have the same trembling that it did. You'll give it 2 weeks, and it's a far-off thought, and usually you don't give it the same opportunity. Why's under the heat? I don't want to hear no more of this. That's a lie, folks. Yes. They're waiting for the convenient time. Today is the day of salvation. Yes. Right now is the time. Don't put it off. There may not be a better part. And you never know when that time comes. Or as Brother Ed said in the testimony, you never know. Is the night the last night? Does the train wreck tonight? Does the car go out on the road? Or does some maniac run it? Who knows those things? But beyond that, what about your own conscience? What about the weakening of it? What about getting to the place that I don't really care like I used to? I used to have real meaningful convictions in my life. Things seemed to be important to me. I thought I really needed to go to service, but after a while, it don't seem so important to me anymore. Oh, Lord, help us tonight. Oh, would that God would help us this in our day, because there is so much going on in this our day. And we need God's help. We need the Lord to lift us up and give us the desire, the passion, the want to, the heart. It's all about the heart. Well, I'm going to tell you, Felix had his time. He had his visitation. Here it was. Old Felix probably never heard anything quite like that. His wife was Jewish, and he probably had some accounts of the Old Testament and probably knew some of those kind of things. I don't know what all, but Paul preached the message to him. He said, in a convenient season, I will call for thee. I think that would be classified as a lost opportunity. He lost his opportunity for salvation. And whether it ever come again, there is no account. I hope he did. I hope one day he'll say to me, you know, you preached the message one time. No, that wasn't fine. Don't know if you'll know all that or not, but I like to see him there. But there's a lost opportunity. How many lost opportunities can we afford in this life? I want to finish with one other scripture, and it's a familiar scripture. It's over in Jeremiah 8. Just one little scripture. It's in the 20th verse, the 8th chapter of Jeremiah. It says, the harvest is past, and the summer is ended. We're not saved. That has a lot of power to it to me. And what it's talking about is opportunity. What it's talking about. a convenient, not say convenient, but the time, the summertime. The summer had all summer. The summer is ended, it says. The harvest is past. All the things that needed to be done, it's all past, and the summer is ended. What lays beyond the summer and the harvest? The winter. The cold. The time nothing grows. It speaks of dark times. It's darker. It's colder. It's harder. It's very difficult to accomplish, to do. It becomes a struggle to get over the hump with things. It becomes harder and harder. Oh, we got some young people here tonight. Young people, serve the Lord. Now is the great time to start serving the Lord with all your heart. Establish the Lord in your heart. Keep the Lord in your heart. Oh, I want to tell you the things that belongs to your peace tonight. The things that will bless your life and help you out in your life. But don't wait to the end of it and you say the harvest is, and the summer's ended and now, only time. I can't grow anything. I would hardly have anything left. And we're not saved. We haven't taken advantage of the opportunities that's come into life. This message goes more than just the idea of salvation. It goes into growing in the Lord. It goes into conquering self. And it goes into the idea of overcoming the problems that we have. God tailor makes. He fits us for our situations in life. And God is faithful to bring that to a place. He brings it to an apex or a crescendo in our lives. He brings our lives' events to a place to get victory over. He brings them to their highest points and ability for us to do it. He brings it to us, but He don't make us do it. He only gives us the visitation or the opportunity. And you know, I fear when those opportunities are put aside and not taken advantage of, that the space between the opportunities increase and increase and increase to the point that there may never be another one in this life. Oh, Lord, help us tonight take advantage of the opportunities and the visitations of the Lord. You pray for me. I want to be faithful.